Michael, these BSE prions, why can't they be cooked off? Why can't they be killed? How strong are these?
Well, because of their unique structure, they're protein-only structures, meaning they're just infectious proteins, no DNA, no RNA attached. And because of this unique structure, they're practically invulnerable. They can remain infectious for years in the soil. They're not adequately destroyed by cooking or canning or freezing, usable doses of UV or ionizing or X radiation, digestive enzymes, stomach acid, all ineffective in destroying their infectivity. Even heat sterilization, domestic bleach, and formaldehyde sterilization all have little or no effect. In fact, one study even raises the disturbing question of whether or not even incineration could guarantee the inactivation of prions. The guy who did that study, Paul Brown, medical director for the U.S. Public Health Service, he actually just retired, found infectivity after incinerating at temperatures hot enough to melt lead, reduced the sample to ash, still found infectivity. We are talking about the smallest, most lethal, self-perpetuating biological entities on the planet.
When these prions are passed through to the human, what happens? How do they begin to fester? How do they attack the body?
Well, we now know, certainly from this latest case in Europe coming out, it does seem to reside in the spleen and what's called the lymphoreticular system of the body, and the lymph nodes and the appendix and the tonsils. And in fact, that's how we've been finally able to estimate the epidemic, the size of the human epidemic in Europe and elsewhere, is because it shows up in these tissues first before you ever show any symptoms. What these British researchers did is go back and looked at all the tonsil and appendix archives in the pathology department. These people just had their appendix out, you know, because they had appendicitis, and went and could examine and see if they had these deadly prions building throughout their bodies. And indeed, they found so many cases that they now know that literally thousands of people are destined to die, thousands of young people, because they had these deadly prions building up throughout their bodies. We need to do the same kind of experiment here in the United States because we're not adequately tracking this disease in cattle, and we're not adequately tracking this disease in the human population, as Ms. Scarbeck can certainly attest to.
Michael, are there other products that might contain these BSE prions?
Well, certainly, again, the riskiest products are those processed beef products. I don't know if we have time to go into chronic wasting disease, kind of the mad cow disease of wildlife affecting deer and elk in this country. So actually, venison could actually be a risky product as well. And until the FDA stops the feeding of these risky tissues, you know, the brains and spinal cords of older, downed animals, if there's mad cow disease anywhere, it's in those tissues. Until we stop feeding those to the animals we eat, like pigs and poultry, then there's a potential risk from those meat products as well. So, I mean, we are really putting, you know, the entire kind of the meat supply at risk by continuing to do this.
And but isn't it possible that other products, gelatins, things that use bone and bone marrow and ground up things like that, could also be affected?
Well, just this month, the Food and Drug Administration did limit the amount of brains, eyes, spinal cords, and guts that could go into cosmetics, personal care products, shampoos, etc. Unfortunately, the restrictions didn't go far enough. Certainly, that is a welcome change in policy, but their age limit for cattle is 30 months. We know that cattle over 30 months, older cattle are at higher risk for the disease. So they said, all right, we are going to exclude, you know, brains and spinal cord from lipsticks and other things that people spread on their face that could potentially get into broken skin. We're going to limit those products from older animals. But see, in Europe, they don't want brains in their personal care products. They don't want, you know, brains in their Jell-O. They don't want, you know, brains in the beef flavorings and beef extracts. And so they eliminate these from cattle, almost all cattle, adult cattle over just 12 months, because we know, for example, in Japan, out of the last four cases were in young cattle, 20 months, 22 months, 23 months. Those are the kind of cattle here in the United States, even though they're infectious, they would go into some of these products. And so unfortunately, I think the FDA hasn't gone far enough. And we only exclude small intestines. There's a concern that the colon may be infectious, too. And so we need to follow Europe's example and exclude cow, rectum, and anus from our food supply and from some of these personal care products as well.
Janet, would you be happy with meat products and other products as well if they stopped the practice of feeding this crud to cattle?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But they are so far from doing it because our industry has so much power in the United States that, for example, they stop putting some things into cosmetics, yet they're still feeding cow blood to cows. It does not make sense. And it's all because of corporate greed at the highest level.
And let me ask you about that greed. I mean, are they saving some money? Are they making big bucks because of this? Why don't they simply say, you know what, this is wrong. It's potentially injurious to millions of people. We're going to stop it. Why are they doing it?
I don't think these people at the top of these organizations have the moral fortitude for that. When it comes to the almighty dollar versus what is right for the human population, they're taking the dollar over everything else.